this morning on
prayer, the power of prayer. I stayed at home yesterday, didn't get out. Stayed in all day, and I prayed. I sought God, and we had a time last night. We had a time night before last, but it takes prayer. If we don't pray, we're not going to get anything from God. I want to give you about three or four scriptures to start with here. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, men ought always to pray and not faint. If you get your Bibles, and we'll go through some things here. Men should always pray and not faint. Ephesians 6, 18 tells us something else. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. We're supposed to pray and watch out for each other. We're supposed to pray, always pray. Anything that you come up against, always pray. Don't do anything without praying. And when you feel comfortable in prayer, then you know that God has heard your prayer, and you know that it's all right to do whatever God has told you you could do in the Spirit. Jude 1:20 tells us how to pray. Building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So we need to get to the place that we can pray in the Holy Ghost. It builds us up. I want you to notice what this done. Men ought always to pray, Luke 18:1, and not faint. So prayer keeps us from fainting. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So it helps us to look out for each other. And then we pray in the Holy Ghost, Jude 1:20. We pray in the Holy Ghost, and it builds us up on our most holy faith. When you feel down, that's the time to pray. When you feel hurting, it's time to pray. When you feel troubles everywhere, it's time to pray. It's time for our nation to pray. It's time for every household that I know of to pray. It is time to pray. It is time to seek the Lord when he may be found. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, and begin with verse 31. Listen what it says here happened when they prayed. And when they had prayed, as all the church gathered together and the apostles, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. You know, we need some shaking prayers today. People need shook up. The house needs shook up. Things need shook up. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's what brought revival in that day. They spake the word of God with boldness. And verse 32 said, and the multitude of them were of one heart and one soul. They were all just one. They were just, it was just such a unity that they were all one. And the multitude of them that believed, verse 32, were of one soul. Neither said any of them, aught the things which he possessed was his own, but had all things common. Common things, you know, in our lives. So they had all things common. Verse 33, and with great power. We were preaching on the power last night. And it fell already the night before that. We had a young man got saved, gave his heart to God, and that's the power. Now, when you get a group of people together that's got the power, things changes. When people are really got the power of God, it said, and with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude that believed were of one heart and one soul. They just came together in such unity. See, God is wanting people to come together in a unity of the Spirit. Maybe we don't see everything just exactly alike, but there's one thing that the church needs to learn, one thing, that if a person is a leader in the church, they know better than somebody that just comes and sits in the church. How many knows that? Because they have to pray. They have to seek God. The knowledge that I have of the Word of God, I got a lot of it through prayer. I got a lot of it through reading the Word. I got a lot of it from preaching it over and over and over. But you see, God, He tells the leader what to do. How many knows that? God will tell the leader what to do in your home. If He's going to talk to anybody, He's going to talk to the leader. There's the head, and then there's the other members of the body, and He's going to talk to the mind of the leader before anything else. Now, there's different places in the Bible that we find where prayer came with a great power. How many knows that Jonah disobeyed God? He told him to go to Nineveh, and he went to Tarsus, and he got in trouble because he headed that way. And there was a rough boat ride. How many remembers that story in the book of Jonah? There was a rough boat ride. And the people that was on the boat that was running the thing, they realized that there was something wrong. And they came to the conclusion that they had a man aboard that was out of the will of God. And you see, sometimes when things get rough, whether we're in the will of God or whether we're out of the will of God, when things get rough, we can pray. When everything has gone wrong, we can pray. When everything else doesn't work, we can pray. And Jonah said, out of the belly of hell, cried I. He felt like he was in a place of hell. It was down in the depths. The fish went down to the bottom of the sea. The darkness, it said the weeds were wrapped around his head. And he was in a terrible shape, but he prayed. Jonah prayed. He sought the Lord in prayer. And God spoke to the fish. Now Jonah said, out of the belly of hell, cried I. And God spoke to the fish and told the fish where to take him and to belch him out upon the land. Now that didn't look like a revival, did it? How many believes that Jonah was in a revival in the belly of the whale? He was in a prayer meeting in the belly of the whale. But he was preparing for a revival. When things begins to look bleak and it looks like there ain't much going on and it looks like that just everything's going wrong, that's when to pray, because God is wanting to do something for us if we'll just accept it. So he prayed, and God spoke to the fish and he told him where to take him, and he belched him out upon the land. Then God spoke to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh and preach the word there. You know, when Jonah started walking up down the streets of Nineveh and preaching the word of God, people began to get saved. And the king, the leader of that city, he gave his heart to God and he put everything on a fast. All the people went on a fast, even the animals and everything else went on a fast. And do you know that's the biggest revival that I can find in the Bible? It's bigger than the revival when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. It said that the whole city, you ever hear of that happening? The whole city gave their heart to God. The whole city went on a fast. The whole city prayed. I'll tell you what, they couldn't escape it. You know, if everybody begins to pray and seek God with the power of God in their life, there's nothing that can stop revival. Now, how many knows that we need people praying in this church when somebody comes to an altar? Now, you see, the difference is we've got to get some training on praying people through. Everybody agree and pray for somebody sick. Everybody agree and pray for somebody that's got trouble. Everybody agree and we begin to pray and we begin to seek God. And things will begin to work. That's what Jonah done. He prayed. That's what the leader of the city done when he got there. He prayed. That's what everybody in the city done, and they prayed. And it said the whole city, they all got saved. They all got delivered. They all got set free. So when everything looks like it's going wrong backwards, that doesn't mean it's that way. That means it's just an opportunity for us to pray and get out of the darkness. How many knows it must have been a dark place in there? But he prayed. 3 days he was in there, just like Jesus was in the tomb 3 days. It's a type of the same thing. But when he prayed, he said God heard his prayer. And when he heard his prayer, he answered his prayer. And it run into a great revival. See, a lot of folks said, well, the days of revival is over. I don't think so. I think that we're getting ready to have a revival. Some things are going to happen in our nation that's going to cause people to start praying again and seeking God until we have a revival. How long should I pray? Till the answer comes. George likes that song back there. Till the answer comes, you got to keep praying. And you pray till the answer. Some folks doesn't take them very long. I pray and they get tired of praying, but you can pray all day in the Spirit and God will answer your prayer. Now, it's important to pray in the Spirit. Not just say, Lord, I want this. Kind of dry. Lord, do this for me. That's not a prayer. A prayer is getting right down to business with God and humbling ourselves and say, Lord, we need this. We need the rain. We need the power. We need the blessing. We need the glory. We need what you've got, Lord. Would you please send it down? And then we can sing that song, send down the rain, Lord. Send down the latter rain. I tell you, they had a revival in Nineveh. They had the power of God in Nineveh. So, let's go just a little bit further here. So Jonah prayed, and God heard his prayer. Revival came as a result, and a whole city got saved, including the king and all. Israel had been in a terrible shape for years, under the influence of false prophets, under the influence of Jezebel, the leader of them, and under the influence of a king who didn't have his act together, so to speak. And it came a showdown. A showdown. And Elijah told the false prophets upon the mountain there, he said, you go first. Did you ever notice in the Bible a lot that God allows the devil to do his thing first? Build your altar. Put your sacrifice on there, he told them. I'll wait till last. I'll wait till you get done with all your jumping and hopping and all your doing whatever that you do. These false prophets and all of them, they built an altar. And they prayed, and they prayed to their God. And Elijah was just sitting back there and said, go ahead and pray to your God. We'll try mine out after a while. So they prayed. They prayed. And they got so wrapped up with it that God wasn't answering their prayer. And Elijah was sitting down over there someplace or other. And he said, where is your God? He said, maybe he's went on a vacation. Where is your God? You know, finally people come to the place where is their God? If we're serving the wrong thing, after a while, we're going to come to a place, where is your God? And that's what Elijah said, where is your God? Where is your God? When they got done, they even took lancets, what they call lancets, and cut themselves, and blood ran down on their backs. They done everything that they could do that they thought might move their God, and nothing moved their God. He just didn't have the power to do anything. It's come time for Elijah to try his God, which is the right God. So he built an altar, put stones around it, dug a trench around it, poured barrels of water around it. And he backed off and he prayed a 63-word prayer. See, we're come to the time we're going to have to prove ourselves that we have power over the devil. We have power over the devil. So he backs off and he prays this prayer. And fire fell from heaven, and it fell from heaven, and it licked up the water, it licked up the stones, it licked up the wood, it licked up the sacrifice, and it took everything. You talk about a powerful prayer, it was answered. Then he said, let's take these false prophets down by the brook and destroy them. You know why they had to be destroyed? Because they were destroyers themselves. They were destroyers, so they had to be destroyed. You know, whatever we sow is what we're going to reap. He preached about sowing this morning. You sow good seed, you're going to reap good things. You sow bad seed, you're going to reap bad things. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption. Galatians chapter 6 tells us that. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Jesus prayed in Acts of the Apostles. He had told the people in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. So let's go to Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 and let's see what really happened. They had been told to go into Jerusalem, he told them, tarry till you're endued with power from on high. They done that. And we come over to the second chapter of the book of Acts and we find out what happened when they done this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You know why they was in one accord? They'd been in a prayer meeting. You know, people can't be in one accord and one be in a prayer meeting and another not. Men ought to pray. How much? Men ought always to pray. Ephesians 6:18, we're praying how much? We're praying always. With what kind of prayer? All prayer. You know there's different kinds of prayer. How many knows the prayer that's the most used is the prayer of urgency because we need something right now? Huh? The prayer of urgency. That's the one that's used most. But we don't pray until we really have a problem. And then we say, well, we better pray. Huh? Do you ever hear people say that? You know, it's go along and don't pray for weeks or months. And then after a while, something real bad comes along and they say, well, we better pray. And they call everybody in the community and say, pray for us, pray for us, pray for us. Listen, men ought always to pray. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with what? All prayer. Not just the prayer of urgency, but a prayer of the Holy Ghost, a prayer that builds you up, a prayer that has power. Somebody said, what are you preaching at? I'm preaching this because people need to get power in their life. They need to pray and join with others in prayer and come into a unison of the Spirit and see your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and become something that God wants them to be. So, praying always with all prayer. Now here we find them, the Holy Ghost has fell, and things are getting ready to be set in order spiritually. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? They were all there to worship. Wasn't nobody missing? I like that, don't you? They were all in one accord in one place. Verse 2, and suddenly, God always moves suddenly. When you don't expect him, boom, there he is. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. What was they doing? They were praying. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under the sun. When they had noised abroad, the multitude came together and they were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. They thought it was a confusion. They thought they were drunk. And it says, verse 12, they were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, the people around there, what meaneth this? Others mocking, these men are full of the new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my word. These are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in these days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, all this was brought about by prayer. You know, Jesus always found time to pray. Now, who did he pray to? He prayed to his Father. Father, if it be thy will, in the garden. That was predestined for him to be crucified. But he says, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But he went on to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If you want it, I'll allow myself to be crucified. He prayed the prayer, the grand prayer of all prayers. He talked to the Father. He said, Father, you know, his spirit man was wrapped with flesh. And he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. Is everybody here this morning ready to face God's will regardless of what we have to do? That's the place that we have to get. And the only way we can ever get there is in prayer. I've tried this and I've tried that and I've tried other things, but prayer is the answer. Prayer is the thing that we need to do. And we'll get to a place where, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. You know, people will fight for their will. They want their will. They want their way. They want this and they want that. But the only way that we can pray, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Whatever you say. You know, I spent 55 years in the ministry, and I'll say half of that was me praying. You know, didn't want to go through with something I have to go through. Didn't want to. But finally, I gave in. I said, whatever you say, Lord. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you say, I'll do. Whatever others do, I'll do what you say. That's where we have to be. We got to get to that place. Everybody has to get to that place. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus told them, the apostles, to go to Jerusalem. And he said, wait for the promise. You wait for the promise. The Holy Ghost fell on them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That was the promise. Peter said, the promise is unto you and your sons and your daughters and all those that are far off and whosoever that the Lord thy God shall call. Wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes, you know, God puts people that go through things that you don't want to go through. You might have to go through some things. I have to go through some things. We all have to go through some things. Some of the things we don't want to go through, but whatever God says, we have to be willing and obedient. And it says, Isaiah 1:19 said, if you're willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But only if we're willing and obedient. Are we willing? Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to do what God tells us to do? Now, we've been preaching on godly or ungodly. How many knows that if it's in this book, the Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. Recently, God has brought me into a light on this godly. What we do is either godly or it's ungodly. There is no gray area through it. It's either godly. Psalms 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't walk in that camp. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Only the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff that's carried about by the wind. See, God wants us to put down roots. And as I said here last night, you know, this old big tree, that burrow down here in the park, it's planted in real good dirt. I imagine the river used to run right in there, maybe. I don't know. But it's got good dirt, and it has plenty of moisture, evidently. And it's been there 300 and some years. And I know that George Washington was born in 1732, so that tree was there before George Washington was born. Can you imagine that? Generation after generation after generation, and that old tree stands tall, 6 foot tall, 300 and some years old. It's rooted deep. Winds couldn't top it. The roots went down deep. We got to have an experience where the roots go down deep, deep inside, and they go far out. You know, a tree, you see the wind blows it over, the roots are not too much out or down. But one that's way down and way out, it'll stand the test. And God wants us to stand tests sometimes, that we have to stand that test. We have to stay rooted and ground. That the Bible said that you be rooted and grounded in the things of God, and that you be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but growing up in him into all things, which is the head, even Christ. Praise the Lord.